Grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you this morning as we gather here on this fifth Sunday in Lent to again worship and praise the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'd like to again take this opportunity to welcome you here, and just glad that we have this opportunity to be here in this place in God's house to worship and praise the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Just a few announcements to apprise you all of. There will be a session meeting after worship this morning. We'll be meeting in the chapel, but please note that immediately after worship we will have our session meeting. Also, just to let everyone know that we will be having a Good Friday service here on Good Friday. It will begin at 12 noon, so please take the opportunity to come and be with us as we continue the Lenten journey with our Good Friday service. We will also be meeting there in the chapel as well. Next Sunday, which is Palm Sunday, we will be stripping the congregation, paraments and the pulpit and in black, and so please be with us at that time too. So again, we will be having a Good Friday service at 12 noon. We will not be having a Maundy Thursday service, but I would invite all of you to out to Neshaminy Warwick Church, where there will be a Maundy Thursday service, and I will be preaching for that Maundy Thursday service. So that is going to be at 7 o'clock on Maundy Thursday. I always have room in my car, so if you want to come out and go with me. I never like to go alone, so if you want to go, please hit me up, and I'll make sure that we get out there. But that's going to be on a Maundy Thursday. Also, just want to apprise you of an opportunity coming up here, or an event coming up. It's called Understanding Changes in Medicare and Retirement Seminar. It's always good to have information on Medicare and retirement, but there will be a seminar here at Olney Church on Saturday, April the 26th at 10 a.m. Our own Franklin Daniels will be one of the presenters for that. So again, that's going to be from 10 a.m. to 12 noon on April 26th. There are other things going on here at Olney Presbyterian Church. Please take the time both to read your bulletin as well as go to our webpage to stay abreast of all that is happening here at Olney Presbyterian Church. Our first scripture reading this morning is going to come from Psalm 126, which is found on page 537 of your pew Bibles. So this time, let us listen to God's word for us. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter, and our tongue with shouts of joy. Then they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us. We are glad. Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like the watercourses in the Negeb. May those who sow in tears reap with shouts of joy. He that goes forth weeping, bearing the seed for sowing, shall come home with shouts of joy, bringing his sheaves with him. Our second reading this morning will come from the book of Philippians, Paul's letter to the church at Philippi. We'll be reading from chapter 3 of Philippians, beginning at 4b and reading through verse 14. It is found on page 1023-24 of your pew Bible. So again, let us listen to God's word for us. Though I myself have reason for confidence in the flesh also, If any other man thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew born of Hebrews, as to the law of Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as refuse in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own based on the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that if possible I may obtain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. It's the word of the Lord. Amen. I love the psalm that we read this morning, Psalm 126. It's one of my favorite psalms. And I especially love the opening words of the psalm, the way it opens up. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, the psalmist says, we were like those who dream. Have you ever had a dream come true? Have you ever experienced something so wonderful, so seemingly impossible that when it happened, you had to pinch yourself? You couldn't help but wonder if it was really happening or if it was just a dream. But you find out that it is no dream. The wonderful thing really, really is happening. And that's what the psalmist is talking about this morning. Something wonderful that God had done for God's people. Psalm 126, in many ways, is a psalm of lament. It is a psalm of loss, a psalm of grief, a psalm of tears. But it's more than that, as you've heard. We don't know what the particular situation that the psalmist is in, but he, in the midst of his grief, he's looking back and he is remembering. He's remembering what God had done for him and for his people in the past. We don't know what he has in mind, what particularly he is remembering. Maybe he's remembering the Exodus story, how God had delivered the people from Egyptian slavery, how God had sent them across the wilderness, how God had given them what they needed. Maybe that's what he's remembering, the central story in the life of Israel. Or maybe he is remembering how God had liberated the people from Babylonian captivity. Part of the biblical narrative, the Old Testament narrative, is the narrative of how the people were held captive in Babylon for 50 years. As a people and a nation, they had lost everything. Judah was destroyed. Jerusalem was destroyed. The temple was destroyed, and the people were carried off weeping deep down inside of Babylon. Near the rivers of Babylon, where we sat down, there we wept when we remembered Zion. And for all intents and purposes, as a people, they were dead. But then one day the impossible happens. Mighty Babylon is destroyed, and the people are liberated and allowed to go back home. And so they would sing this psalm, Psalm 126, which is, scholars tell us, a psalm of ascent, the kind of psalm that the people would sing when they made their pilgrimage to Jerusalem, and they would sing about what the Lord had done for them. When the Lord returned our fortunes, we were like people who dream. Have you ever dreamed for the impossible? Have you ever had your fortunes restored? I'm sure all of us can recount the things that God has done for us in the past. We all have stories of how God has been faithful, how God has seen us through. How God has seen us through difficult times, how God has seen us through dry times, how God has seen us through the parchednesses of our souls. We've all had those times that I'm sure we can recount. How God has seen us through and restored us. Maybe we thought it was a dream. But we figured out that it was no dream. God really is a saving God. God is a redeeming God. God is a rescuing God. God is a blessing God. God is a God who can deliver, and God has delivered us in the past, and we can be assured that God will deliver us in the future. When I was a kid, I remember watching, growing up in the 70s, after the Vietnam War, watching some of the POWs who were spent time as prisoners of war in Vietnam. Many of them had spent years as prisoners in harsh conditions, often tortured and mistreated. And I suspect that many of them probably thought that they would never see home again, never see their families again, never see the people they loved again, never see the things that they were familiar with again. They had probably given it all up, but then one day it happened. The war was over and they were allowed to come home. It was a wonderful sight seeing the doors of the planes open up and the POWs stepping out in their service uniforms. They'd get off the plane and then they would go running. They would go running to their families that were waiting for them, and their families would go running to them, and they would joyfully embrace each other, and it must have felt to them like a dream. Am I really home? Am I really back in the United States? Am I really on American soil? Is the dreaded nightmare over? Is this really happening, or is it a dream? But it was no dream. They really were free. They really were released. They really were back home. Their fortunes were restored. I imagine that's the way the Lord's disciples felt after the first Easter, when the resurrected Lord came to his disciples. We're told in John's Gospel that the disciples see Jesus on the beach after fishing, and they go running up to him, and he is preparing for them a charcoal breakfast. And they're obviously overwhelmed with joy, but the text says that none of them would dare ask who he was. And I suspect they probably all were wondering, maybe they were, if they were dreaming, is this a dream? After all, they'd been there on Good Friday. They had saw the Lord hanging on the cross. They had saw how he was humiliated, how he was tortured, how he was crucified, how he had been laid in the tomb. They had seen it all, but now here he was right in front of them, and he's fixing them breakfast, and it must have been like a dream. But no, it was no dream. It was the resurrected Lord, the restored embodiment of their hopes and their dreams for the future. But that's getting a little bit ahead of ourselves. This morning we are still in the season of Lent, which means we are still journeying in the valley of tears as we make our way to the cross and to the empty tomb. And even though you and I are Christ people, even though you and I are people of the new creation, even though we are people who belong to God's coming future, we still live right now in a world that is dominated by tears. Many of us know those tears well. The tears of vulnerable women and children trying desperately to escape the ravages of war. The tears of all of those caught in the vice grip of injustice and oppression, the tears of all of those who are hungry and needy all over the world. Many, many tears. And then, of course, there are our own personal tears. The tears of heartbreak, the tears of disappointment, the tears associated with sickness and disease, the tears that come with growing older, and of course the tears that well up in our eyes whenever we remember all of those whom we have loved but now have lost. We've experienced some of those tears and grief here at Olney recently, haven't we? It was good seeing our dear brother Bill James here worshiping with us last Christmas Eve, especially since we hadn't seen him in a while. And I was hoping then for an opportunity to be able to talk with him a little bit, but that didn't happen. And that makes the sense of loss and grief all the more real. We never had that opportunity to talk with him before he died. But we all know that grief, and we all know loss, and we all know pain, and we all know tears. It comes with being human. But we're reminded this morning that tears are not the last word. Grief is not the last word. Loss is not the last word. The last word, we're reminded, is a word of joy. The last word is a word of hope. The last word is God's promise to restore all things and to make all things new. Lent is always a good time for us all to take stock and to do what the psalmist is doing, to remember all the good things that God has done for us in the past. Sometimes it's so easy for us to get preoccupied and bogged down by the difficulties of the present that we lose sight of all the ways that God has been faithful to us in the past, all the things that God has done for us in the past. And it's not simply to get bogged down in nostalgia for the way things were, but it's just a reminder that the God that we serve is a God who has been faithful to us, a God who has sustained us, a God who has kept us and blessed us. And because we know all the ways that God has been faithful to us in the past, we can be assured of God's rescuing power in the future. The power of the resurrection that Paul speaks about in our Philippians passage. The power of a God who will one day bring all of us home to God's coming kingdom. Despite whatever grief we might be experiencing in the present moment, despite whatever loss we might be experiencing, despite whatever tears may be evident, God's promise is that God will one day bring us home. Home to God's coming kingdom. I know I've told you before, but every once in a while, I'll have a dream of my grandmother's house. It's the house that I spent a great deal of time at when I was a kid. But it's always funny because even in the dream, I know the house shouldn't be there. I know it's not supposed to be there. I know it's been torn down. It's been a long, long time. But there it is. The lights are on. And I always want to go inside to see if anybody's home. To see if maybe my grandmother is there or my Uncle Rollo is there, who's the last person that used to live in the house. But of course, it's just a dream. A dream of a reality that was many years ago and many tears ago, as many of the people associated with that little house on Texas Street are no longer with us. I suspect that many people in our world think that our faith is just that, just a dream. Just a pipe dream, something not to be taken seriously by serious people. But we're reminded of the God who has been with us all along. We're reminded of the God who has sustained us in the past. We're reminded of all the wonderful things that God has done for us. God has done great things for us. Hasn't God done great things for you? God has done great things for us, big things and small things. God has sustained us. And here's what God has promised us. God has promised us that one day you and I will wake up. We'll rub our eyes and we'll look around and everything will be made new. There'll be no more tears. There'll be no more sickness. There'll be no more war. There'll be no more loss. There'll be no more hatred and division. All of those things will be swallowed up. All of those things will be swallowed up. And we will be rejoicing. Rejoicing of the powerful, wonderful things that God has done for us. And maybe in the midst of it all, we'll pinch ourselves and we'll say, is this a dream? Are all these wonderful things, is it really true? Is it a dream? And we'll hear God's voice, no, this is not a dream. This is no dream. It's a part of the wonderful things that God has done for us, that God has promised us to make all things new. And so as we continue our journey towards the cross, in our journey towards the empty tomb, let us live into the promise of God, who's promised to make all things new, to restore our fortunes, to give us back a thousandfold of all that we have lost, because we will have God, God's self. And to have God is to have everything, all things new. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, sometimes it's hard for us to believe the good news. We've gotten so used to the world in which we live, gotten so used to what we hear and see all around us, gotten so used to loss and fear and death, that it's hard for us to believe the stunning good news of what you are promising us. That the future is in your hands. That the future belongs to you. And that it's a future that is not closed down to us, but it's a future that is opened up in your love for each and every one of us. We ask, Lord, that you help us to believe. That you help us to believe that your promises are not a pipe dream. That your promises is a promise to redeem and to save the world, because that's the kind of God you are. You are a rescuing God, a delivering God, a saving God who loves all of us and who loves this world, and you have committed to save this world and redeem this world. And so, Lord, help us to believe, especially during these difficult times. Help us not to be afraid, but to know that you are committed to restoring our fortunes and restoring the fortunes of this world, racked as it is by the power of death, to heal it, to redeem it, to save it, and to give it abundant and eternal life, as with all of us. And we ask all of these things in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.